All right, well, this is our last Sunday in the book of James. Hopefully you guys have been enjoying going through this as much as I have. It's been convicting for me. It's been challenging for me, especially some weeks, but I feel like it has really built something up within me and called me to something greater, to be more spirit-filled and less worldly. So I'm praying that it has done the same for you. So as we get started here this week, many of you guys know I enjoy watching movies, and that's where a lot of my examples happen. So I got a little movie quiz for you. Kids, can you help me with these first couple ones? The adults probably don't know these as well as you guys. So Simeon, you want the first one? All right. What's that movie? Finding Dory. Sure, we'll go with that one. I picked Finding Nemo, but it's pretty much the same thing, right? I'm old school. I picked the first one. Have you seen Finding Nemo too? Yeah. So Finding Nemo, for those of you who don't know, this is a movie about a couple fish. Okay. After his son Nemo is captured in the Great Barrier Reef and taken to the office of P. Sherman, 42 Wallaby Way in Sydney, a timid clownfish named Marlin sets out on a journey to bring his son home. Well, there's a picture of Nemo and Dory up there, or maybe that's Marlin. I don't even know. All right, next one. Rowan, you want to help me with this one? We'll see if you get this one. This one might be hard. Do you know that movie? You don't know that one? Henry, do you? Oh, so this was one of my, you know it, Michelle? Rescuers Down Under. It has to be Down Under. So this was one of my favorite Disney movies when I was a kid. This movie is about two Rescue Aid Society agents, Miss Bianca and Bernard, as they race to Australia to meet up with Jake the kangaroo rat and save a 9-year-old boy named Cody and a rare golden eagle from a murderous poacher named Percival McLeach. It's a great movie. You should watch it if you haven't. All right, this one's for the guys. Anyone know this one? Saving Private Ryan. Well done. So this is after the invasion of Normandy on June 6, 1944, Captain John Miller leads his squad on a mission to find and bring home Private James Francis Ryan after the death of his three brothers. It's an excellent war film, quite graphic though, so I wouldn't recommend it to everybody. Here's another war movie, one of my favorites. Anyone know this one? Hacksaw Ridge. I've mentioned this one before in other sermons. The movie is based on the extraordinary true story of conscientious objector Desmond T. Doss, who saved 75 men in Okinawa during the bloodiest battle of World War II without firing a single shot. All right, I have two more for you. This is for anybody. Anyone know this one? Princess Bride. How many of you guys have seen this one? A bunch of you haven't? Whoa. We're going to pray for you guys who haven't seen this one. When the lovely Buttercup is kidnapped by a gang of outlaws, they find they are pursued by the dread pirate Roberts, who just might be Wesley, her one true love. After encounters with shrieking eels, an inconceivable battle of wits, fighting off rodents of unusual size and torture in the pit of despair, Buttercup and Wesley are still not safe and living happily together. She has been taken once again and is in danger of marrying Prince Humperdinck against her will. Will Wesley be able to rescue her before it's too late? You guys got to watch this one. This is good. All right, last one. You know this one? Hook. Good job, Rowan. Mr. Siglin beat you. The unimaginable has happened. Peter Pan has grown up and has forgotten who he is. He's now a selfish workaholic who largely ignores his children. His old adversary, Captain James Hook, has kidnapped his children to entice Peter back to Neverland for one final battle. It's now up to his trusty fairy sidekick, Tinkerbell, and the Lost Boys to jog his memory and make him remember who he really is. Will Peter recognize his true identity and rescue his children before it is too late? And I also chose this one because not only, I don't know if you can see through this blurry picture up here, but not only has Peter lost his way, but Peter's son, Jack, right there in the background, has also lost his way and is now starting to identify as Captain Hook's son. Can you guys guess the theme of today's, all these movies? Is there a theme? Rescue, right? And that's what I want to focus on today. That's what we're going to be looking up as James wraps up his letter to the churches. We're going to focus on God's great rescue mission. And the question is, will we recognize our identity and our joyful responsibility in participating in God's great rescue mission? So I just wanted to go through and recap the whole letter that we've gone through. This will take a few minutes, but I think it's worth going back. What have we been reading in the entire letter that James wrote to the churches? He started off talking about how we face trials. He says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." We're all going to experience trials in this lifetime. And James is saying, count it joy, because when you go through those trials, the Lord's building something up in you, this steadfastness. Then he also talks about facing temptations. We all know what that's like. And James warns us that many times we seek that temptation out ourselves, don't we? He said, each person is tempted when he is lured and desired and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And he's warning believers, don't fall into temptation. Don't seek it out. Don't give into it. It will not produce a mature faith like you should be producing. Then James talked about loving and obeying God. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And he used that example about looking in a mirror and then walking away and forgetting what you looked like. That's how silly it is to look into God's word and not take what he's giving us, and we walk away and we live for ourselves. We need to love and obey God and be doers of his word. And then James also talks about loving one another. Because of the great grace and mercy you've received from God, show that grace and mercy towards one another. He says, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. Don't judge one another. The law of liberty is the law of Christ, the law of mercy. And then he went into the next part, and he says, we need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Quick to hear. Are we noticing the needs of those around us? Are we acting on that? James says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Are we showing maturity of faith through our actions? Are we noticing the needs around us and acting upon it? Slow to speak. James says, with our tongues, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Are we showing maturity of faith through our words? And again, I think it's important to say it's not just about not saying the bad words. It's about replacing the bad words and the negative speech with something good. God gives us good speech. Sing songs of praise. Remind one another of the scriptures. Speak positive things towards one another. Slow to anger. James says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. How is our attitudes, church? Are we becoming angry like the world? Are we looking out for ourselves? Or are we slow to anger? Are we showing maturity of faith in our attitude? And then James gives us warnings against worldliness. Living for pleasure. Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And he also says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Are we identifying ourselves with the world. Maybe we're struggling with living for self. James says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." Don't put yourself higher than God and his word. Don't put yourself higher than others. Follow the example of Christ. Humble yourself. Live for God and serve one another. And he also addresses this in our tendency to live for self. We boast about tomorrow. We think we're in control of things and we boast. And he says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. We must repent of our pride and our boasting and walk humbly before the Lord and one another. James also warns about living for wealth. He says, you have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts on a day of slaughter. There's this attitude of selfishness and deceit that many of us live out. And he's warning, don't do that. Repent. Don't live for wealth. The last few weeks here, we've been looking in chapter 5. And James tells us to patiently wait for the Lord's return. It's hard, isn't it? This is when we fall into worldly patterns and worldly desires and into sin. We get impatient waiting for the Lord and for his promises to come true. James says, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Establish them. Make them firm. He also says we need to pray in faith for the Lord's healing power. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. There's times in our lives, there's seasons in our life where we struggle with doubt. We struggle with unbelief. And he says, pray for one another. Sing songs to one another. Go to your elders and receive prayer if need be. James has been focusing on God's presence, both future and present. And to end the letter, James addresses the opposite experience of God's presence. The worst thing anyone can do in dealing with the struggles of life is to walk away from the truth and no longer experience or expect God's presence. And that's where we're at today, the last two verses of James chapter 5. James says, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Before we unpack those two verses, I have another movie example for you. Rowan, can you help me with this one? Do you know that movie? Up. Yes, good job. How many of you guys have seen Up? That's another great movie. But you know, sometimes when these dogs are having a conversation with someone or each other, they're just in the middle of a conversation and then they'll go, squirrel! And then they'll carry on with their conversation again. It's hilarious if you can watch this movie. Those are great parts. But I think it also shows what we do too. We're living for the Lord, we're focused on him, and all of a sudden we get distracted by something of the world. We get distracted by our doubts or whatever it may be so quickly. I don't know about you guys, but many times I've found out things can be going great. I've been seeing the Lord's hand in my life, things are going well, and I get distracted with sin, just like that. And it's silly. It's so silly, but we all do it. We need to be careful that we don't get distracted. But James brings this solution. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Notice who he's addressing. My brothers, among you. He's talking to the church. It's not the worldly people out there, it's those of us in here. We have this tendency to get distracted. And brothers and sisters, we need to be watching out for one another. Throughout the entire letter, James has been emphasizing maturity of faith in the context of community. We are not only responsible for ourselves, but also for helping one another. That's the beauty of the church. We're in this together. We're called together to watch out for one another. So I don't have this written down. I don't know where this is coming from. But a lot of times you might have heard, don't judge me. Only God can judge me. And there is a level of, we can't judge other people. But yet within the context of the church, I think Jesus wants us to judge one another in a loving way. He wants us to be looking out for one another and saying, brother, sister, what's going on here? Can you tell me about that? Because it seems like you're distracted. That squirrel showed up and you're distracted. Do you know what I mean? So I think we are called in love to judge one another because of community, because of the church. James says, if anyone wanders from the truth, what could this be? This could be a myriad of things. Some examples could be following false teachings, doubting the goodness of God, being eager for sin or identifying with the world. You could come up with many more examples, but we all struggle with those things from time to time. And we need our brothers and sisters around us to come alongside of us and say, watch out. Don't get distracted by that. Whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering. How do we bring back sinners? I think James has already given us examples throughout his letter. We do it through fervent prayer. We've experienced that even just the last couple weeks, praying more as a congregation, creating space after our service to receive prayer. I wonder, I need my brothers and my sisters to pray for me. I think we also do it, we bring back sinners by using our speech effectively. Remember that a couple months ago we talked about that ship with the very small rudder? James used that example. That little thing that we say, if we do it in a godly and positive way, we can steer a great ship. Right? That's how we use our words effectively. And if we bring back a sinner from his wandering, we will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. I had to think about this a little bit this week. Do we save, ultimately, do we save people? Jesus saves. But yet Jesus invites his church and wants his church to be a part of that process. We are not who saves, but we are the means by which Jesus saves. We are the ones that bring the good news to the world. And there's present and future consequences to this, from saving someone from death. That future, the life identifying with sin, will lead to death and eternal separation from God. But there's also present consequences. Those who are identifying with sin in the world do not enjoy the fellowship with God and his people now. They don't enjoy fruitful labor now. They don't enjoy joy and peace now. We'll cover a multitude of sins. I think this somewhat lines up with what Mike shared with us earlier. James is saying grace is available for those who have walked away. No matter how many sins one has committed during that time, they are all taken away when one returns again to God. What matters is today. Not 20 years ago, not 20 weeks ago, not 20 days ago. Today, where are you at with the Lord? If you turn and repent, that multitude of sins is covered. And we need to be reminded of this, church, because I think a lot of times we put that guilt on us. Yeah, God's forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself. I can't let go of those things. Jesus covers a multitude of sins. All you have to do is repent today. So, church, we must care enough about one another and pray and speak and act towards each other in ways that keep each of us from wandering off. That's our job. That's our commitment to each other. And I just want to take this time to share with you our church documents, just to touch on this again. What did we sign as members of Cornerstone Church, St. Paul? Each member here signed a paper saying, I agree with this, and I want to walk this out. So this is our mission as Cornerstone Church, St. Paul. Our mission is to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be partners with him according to his calling in his mission to bring salvation to the world. We seek to be a people equipped and able to equip others to know, love, and serve God through worship, community, and outreach. Worship. The great commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. We seek to become mature disciples of Jesus Christ. This means knowing, enjoying, and pleasing God in all we do. We will worship the Lord regularly as a congregation and will promote, teach, and model worship as a lifestyle that includes devotion to the Bible as the Word of God, commitment to personal and corporate prayer, obedience to the Holy Spirit, and commitment to practice righteousness as the Bible describes. I see this happening in our church, and it encourages me. And if you're not, being involved in our prayer time, in our Bible studies, in our time together, I urge you to do so. This is part of how we keep one another walking in the truth, walking in unity, walking in love, not wandering off and chasing squirrels. Be a part of the church community. Worship together. This spills over into the next one, community. The second great commandment is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus also said, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So Cornerstone Church St. Paul seeks to be a community of believers who build each other up in the love of Jesus Christ. We will meet together individually and in groups large and small in order to lovingly support, encourage, and strengthen each other in putting our faith into practice through encouraging individuals to live by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pause here. Do we do that? When we call one another up, when we meet together, are we encouraging one another in the Lord? We should be. This is what makes us different than any sort of club or group that you can find out in the world. We're encouraging one another in the Lord. Teaching our children what it means to live for Jesus. Leanne and I do that as parents in our home. I would encourage all of you guys, if you have the opportunity to speak something into my children's life, do it. Teach them the ways of the Lord. Building families that are marked by worship and service. Maintaining a warm-hearted love within our church community. Being slow to take offense, quick to resist gossip and slander, and a godly haste in reconciling relational difference. Opening our lives to one another through mutual accountability. This one can be hard, isn't it? We're living in a world where we close ourselves off and we only expose the things we want people to see. That's what social media is, right? Very rarely on social media do you see people's tough things. It's always the highlight reel. And that's the culture the world is creating right now. But the church is different. We get together and we bear our hearts towards one another. That's what builds a strong community. Mutual accountability, and also being generous in spirit with one another in giving those material possessions with which the Lord has blessed us. We have been blessed, so we bless others. That's what we do. Lastly, outreach. The Great Commission is to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. We seek to show Christ's love outwardly to those whose lives we touch. We seek to reach out to our community and our world, near and far, as individuals, as a community, and through the support of missionaries. We will be involved in proclaiming the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ and making disciples of all nations through a readiness to share the good news with those who need to hear, being invitational and open-hearted toward those whose lives we touch, being a people of mercy and good works toward all those in need, especially in our local community, and supporting short and long-term missions with prayer, finances, and participation. Are we keeping this in our minds, church? Are we on mission together? We see an example of worship, community, and outreach as we read in Acts. The early church is modeling what happens when a church is spirit-filled. Things happen. And I'm only going to read a couple verses here in Acts 2. It says, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who what? Who were being saved." Who were being saved. It wasn't just a one-time event. It was continually happening. And I just want to take this minute to share a little bit of my heart with you. I was talking with Michael a couple weeks ago, and he said, "Share this with the church." I'm starting to see the Spirit really move among us lately, and I want to encourage all of us to keep this worship, community, outreach on our minds. And I want to encourage you guys that this happens many times within our homes. We are gathered here right now like they would be attending the temple. It's their church. We're attending our church right now, and we're doing what the church is supposed to do. But it can also happen Monday through Saturday in our homes. And I encourage you guys to do that. When I first came down here a little over 4 years ago and shared with you my heart for the church and my heart as pastor, I said, I want to see this stuff happen in our homes. I firmly believe when we open up our homes towards one another and to those we meet in the community, things will happen. Plus, you get to eat great food. It's awesome. But think about it. We all know by watching the news, by interacting with people, there's so many people in this world that are so confused. What's my identity? What's my purpose in life? You get the joy and privilege to open up your home and model that. This is what a godly family looks like. This is what a godly marriage looks like. This is what children being raised in a godly home looks like. This is what the scriptures look like when you put skin on it. I'm generous with what I have. I'm compassionate towards who you are and where you're at in life. And I want to share with you the good news that I have received in Christ. So church, I'm encouraging you. I'm asking you, now that the major threat of COVID has passed, I still want you to be careful and be wise. But start praying and really thinking of ways to open up your home towards one another and towards the community. You meet people, invite them over for lunch, meet them for coffee, whatever it is. Model for them what the church is. Okay, and I would also do it with one another, and it can be hard. Because you'd say, well, if it wasn't for the gospel, I probably wouldn't be friends with so-and-so. A lot of us might say that about one another, right? There's nothing outside of church that would draw us together to meet like this. But that's the beauty of the church. We have the gospel, and therefore we fellowship with one another despite our differences. And over the last 4 years, I think we've had just about everyone in here over for dinner, and we've gotten to know you. And what's amazing, there's a beauty in just getting to know one another, playing board games with one another, watching how someone else eats spaghetti, you know? There's a beauty in that, just getting to know one another and being you. So I encourage each of you, just start out slow if you want. Just one person from church each month. Invite someone that you've never had over before, or it's been years. Just do it. You will experience much joy. And as you get comfortable, continue to invite others that you meet. We've had strangers in our home that we just met at the park 15 minutes prior. You know, again, use wisdom. But it's there's a beauty in that. There really is. You get to know somebody, and next thing you know, they get into your life, and you build a friendship, or you get to introduce the gospel to them. Couple more. Oh, I was supposed to put up this beautiful picture of families eating together while I was saying all that. But again, I do want to say, you don't need to have all the answers to every Bible question to do this. You don't. Just be you. It's okay if someone asks you a question about the scriptures or about your faith and you say, I don't know. Just be you. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord will use you. It doesn't matter your education level. It doesn't matter what you know or don't know. The Holy Spirit will use you. You also don't need to have a perfect schedule or a perfectly clean house.
Amen.
For real. If all you have is 45 minutes, but you can still meet with someone for coffee, just do it. Just do it. If your house is a mess because you have kids or because you just didn't get around to it, guess what? Everyone's like that. It's okay. We all have messy houses sometimes. We all have children that interrupt. We know what it's like. You also don't have to be the most gifted person. Like I said earlier, the Holy Spirit will use you. It doesn't matter what your gifting is. You have been given gifts by God. Boy, this stand is falling. You have been given gifts by God to use to build up one another and reach out to the world. You all have it. And lastly, our attitudes. Be humble before the Lord and others, and he will use you. Be open to God-given opportunities, and he will use you. Be ready to share the good news of what God has done for you. We don't have to preach into someone else's life, but we can share what God has done in ours. Amen? And be intentional about inviting others to do the same. If you wait for that person to invite themselves over to your house, it's not going to happen. Just be intentional and do it. And lastly, let's just read this one last time. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And I just want to, again, say, after the service, there's going to be elders available. If anyone would like to come up and receive prayer, please do so. If something's holding you back from being the church, come and receive prayer. We'd love to pray for you. If there's a sin lingering over you that you haven't exposed, come and confess that and receive prayer. We want to see people set free. We want to encourage one another to walk in the truth. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want the world to know who you are and what your gospel says. And Lord, we just pray that we would be a faithful church. We pray for community. And church community isn't the goal, Jesus, but it's the means by which the gospel is brought to the world. So Lord, help us to be a people who surrender to you. Help us to be a people who keep that great rescue mission in mind and live faithfully to that. And help us to be a people who encourage one another to walk in truth, in faith, in hope, and in love. And all God's people said, amen.